Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Well, happy Friday, everyone. This is Meet the Movie Press. I am Mark Riley, your host, and...
Jeff Snyder, film reporter, TheWrap.com.
There you go. And I was teasing a little bit of an announcement, which we'll do...
Don't tease me, baby!
Pretty much right away. Sorry, everybody. We're on the live chat. I see you on YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You're here live. And guys, this is the announcement. This is my last show.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm leaving Meet the Movie Press, and I'm sad. I'm sad about it. I can't tell you yet where I'm going, but it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a big announcement. Well, so I'm teasing another announcement. We're also talking about some stuff.
Yeah.
This won't be the last.
We're not sure what the fate of the show will ultimately be.
Right. Right. We don't know what the fate of the show will ultimately be.
But we're not retiring from podcasting.
No, not in the least. So, you guys, I love it. I've been having the best time with you, my friend.
Oh, so many memories we created.
I mean, this has been awesome, and God, I don't want to go, but this new thing that I'm working on is they're making me sign stuff.
Some exclusivity is that what they want?
Yeah, and I have to regrettably leave, and I know no, people are nice. They're saying they're saying no, don't leave. I have to, but I'm like so. Follow me on Twitter at Riley Around. You'll be getting all my announcements.
Yeah, we'll find another way into your ears and your hearts.
Yes, maybe yes. That's the tease. That's the announcement. Thank you. I can't say it enough. I mean, I don't.
For a second, honestly, I thought you might have been cast as Han Solo.
Wouldn't that be rad?
I was like, are you holding out on me, motherfucker?
God, that would be so. I wouldn't podcast anymore. I would just spin off into the universe.
Yeah.
That would be rad. But no, but I'm sorry. I am sad to leave. But yeah, there are some great people everybody's throwing out right now.
Mark had to do this. He had to take this opportunity.
Yeah.
We don't blame him at all.
It was pretty fast. It was a pretty fast thing that came my way. And it was like, whoa, oh, yeah, no, that works. Yep, let's do it.
Do you like fast, or would you have preferred a long, drawn-out courtship for your services?
I know, right? I like fast. Fast is good.
What, and then, who are people suggesting? I don't
– Kroll. Sorry. Kroll is
Justin
in there.
Kroll?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Who else?
We have a surprise guest here in the studio, Justin.
I know. Where is he? Oh, he's probably working the beat. Hiro Hollywood, Elmi Embe, of course.
Ooh.
Umberto, they're saying, and then I'm going back up. Mark, no.
Maybe
no,
it'll be one of you lucky listeners.
Yeah.
Send your $20 to...
I know. With three proofs of purchases to Jeff Snyder at the Inn Snyder. So we'll
try to make this show a good one then.
Yeah, this is not it, but it's not a big deal, really.
Well,
it's like there's so much going on out there. It's going to be so much fun. There's so many playgrounds to play in.
Sure, and we appreciate this opportunity that AfterBuzz has given us.
Absolutely.
And the Popcorn Talk Network.
I got to give a big shout out to Popcorn Talk Network and AfterBuzz for letting this guy do his thing for a while.
Yeah, we let our freak flags fly.
Yeah.
So let's get into the show.
Let's do it, because I want to talk the news one more time before we leave.
What do you want to lead with?
I don't know. Shouldn't we talk about Deadpool? I mean, that's some
big
stuff.
Can we talk about Deadpool? You haven't seen Deadpool.
I haven't seen Deadpool yet. Sasha Pearl Raver was on last week while you were gone visiting your bro. How was that, by the way?
Oh, it was great. We got him. I'll show you the video of the surprise. Thank you guys for not spoiling it.
Right. I know. That's right. You said it on live. But yeah, Sasha was on and just freaking loved it. Loved it. She had some more colorful words to say about it.
A lot of people did love it. I mean, it seems to be going over really well.
Yeah. You saw it. You like it.
I did see it. I respected it more than I actually enjoyed it.
Okay.
I thought it was a little obnoxious.
Okay.
And definitely annoying. But, listen, it was funny. I laughed. There was some very clever stuff.
Yeah.
Structurally, it left a little to be desired.
Okay.
I don't know. I just... It seemed inconsequential.
Okay.
It was a different approach to it, though.
I've heard, everybody other I've talked to have just raved about it. So, but I always respect your opinion, because I know you know, maybe superhero movies, Star Wars movies, like, aren't, like, for me, I'm like, ah, mm-hmm. I love it. And yours, I mean, you like them, but, you know.
Listen, they had, I know I had said something to the effect of, like, the stakes weren't high enough. It's very low stakes, although that was kind of refreshing because he's okay. not trying to save the world. He's just trying to save his girlfriend girl. Or whatever. There you
go. I like that.
But then, you know, I think it was Morena herself who said, well, what could be higher stakes than true love?
Hey, so, I like that. I like that.
Listen, I've always liked Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
When I used to work for Luke Greenfield, actually, mm-hmm. I don't know if I've told this story on the air yet, but he was developing Role Models. He was originally going to direct Role Models.
Right.
And I was pushing hard for Ryan Reynolds to get that role that Sean William Scott got.
Ah, yeah.
Ryan Reynolds happens to be a very unique performer. I've been watching him since that pizza show.
Oh, yeah. Two guys and a pizza.
And he can do these three things. So he can play a romantic lead because he's good looking.
Uh-huh.
He can do comedies because he's funny, and he can do action because he's ripped.
Okay.
And there's very few guys who can do that.
Craig, it's very
Chris,
true.
Chris Pratt's one of them. Mm-hmm. Tom Hardy is not one of them. Tom Hardy, you can't buy as a romantic lead.
Yeah,
and he's not that funny. Yeah,
he's not very funny.
So, like, it's funny. Some of our greatest actors, and Tom Hardy obviously is one of them.
Yeah,
still have certain limitations, haven't proven that they can do three things well. And Ryan Reynolds happens to be versatile like that, so he carries this whole movie. But yeah, ultimately, it just was like that's all you got.
Yeah. Okay, guys. You're getting killed. They disagree with you, but he's not saying it's a bad movie. You just, you know, it's not.
It wasn't, like, for me. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I thought they did, like, a decent job with it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Yeah, that's like me and Mad Max. I was like, yeah.
And I just can't believe that, like, that's what's getting people so excited. But, you know, it is on track to do $75, $80 million this weekend. Who knows?
I think it's going to hit 100. I really do.
I do not.
I know
that there were some estimates for 90, and I was telling our box office people, like, do not.
No,
write that.
Okay, because
I'd just be surprised.
It's saying like 12 million Thursday night showings, which is pretty big for
R-rated. This is also
Deadpool.
R-rated, yeah. Like,
yeah.
And so I would, you know, this is something we were talking about in the office, and I may be writing about. But do you think that this is going to open the door for more R-rated superhero movies?
I mean, it's hard to tell because now it's like I just immediately think. It's an R-rated superhero movie, and then all of Hollywood go, see, we gotta do that.
Well, that's
now.
How Hollywood works.
Yeah.
But,
and so I'm like,
do you
hesitant.
Think that that will actually happen in this case? Because I don't know what characters they would do it with.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, I mean, it's like Deadpool demands an R-rated.
It's the perfect storm, you know, mm-hmm. this Deadpool movie is like, you know, lucky. We're lucky that it exists.
Yeah, yeah.
But it had that, like, 10 years of Ryan Reynolds pushing for it,
right.
And they knew that they messed up the character the first time around, and mm-hmm. I don't know. There's just not, you're not going to get, like, an R-rated Superman movie.
No. See, yeah, that's where it's like, we're not going to, like, I would argue maybe you could do Batman as an R-rated movie.
But why would Warner Brothers do that?
Exactly. And
they wouldn't.
I would just say you could look at The Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller's source material, and go, that could be R-rated in a movie form. But it's Warner Brothers. You're right. It's
none of the movies in the DC and Marvel universe really,
mm-hmm.
at least in the universe, you know, they, you know, like the Vertigo titles that Warner Brothers doing, that could be R-rated, Sandman or whatever.
Sure.
But the main universe is none of those films can't be R-rated.
Right. You know what it will do? I Am Ninja Panda says it best, and it's very true. X-Force could be an R-rated movie.
It's not.
It could because of the source material. If they use Deadpool in it and create that
nothing
from
with the letter X, I don't think will be R-rated.
Ah, that's a good point.
X-Men, X-Force, X-PG-13, my friend.
Okay, okay, that's a good point.
I just can't see that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it is like I think if they reboot Blade, maybe. But where's Blade?
Yeah.
Is that still at Fox? Or
I don't know which studio actually has it, or if it's just like I think do the rights revert to Marvel?
It might have actually.
They may have Blade,
and that would be interesting because I don't think. No, and then Marvel Disney wouldn't make an R-rated superhero movie. Would they do Blade? I don't know. This is interesting. I'm stumped. I don't know if it's going to be.
It's an interesting question. I don't think that there will be a lot more R-rated movies.
Yeah, I think Deadpool is kind of.
It's a unique situation.
It's a unique situation. I totally agree, and I can't wait to see it. I'm going tonight with the lady. Opening night. We're going to go with the crowds.
Will there be a Batman vs. Superman trailer?
Well, the new one just came out.
Do you think it'll be attached? I don't know if it'll be attached, but what did you think of the trailer? We don't really care if it's attached. We just wanted a reason to talk about the trailer.
Exactly. Nice segue, my friend. Oh, I like it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really, really great. Like, it was probably the best trailer for me, but it was Batman heavy. Did you, by any chance, catch Roth and Drew talking on HitFix about
the trailer? Yeah, I did, actually.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of those videos, but I don't either.
But there was because they got me with the headline and then they talked about it. Well done.
It was Drew's defense online that got me, where I was like, what is everybody getting up in arms about? What did Drew say?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was just commenting that he's been hearing that Batman v Superman's in trouble. That's what I'm commenting on.
I thought is that what he said, or did he?
That was at the end, so I didn't really follow.
It seemed like the gist from what I've got from Drew and Devin this week, it was that they talked to some people in Warner Brothers, probably the same people, and some thought it was good and some thought it were bad. Was bad, sorry.
Okay, yeah, I mean.
Can't speak this morning.
That's okay, it's early, and the president's in town. So that's why we were running a little late. He takes up the whole.
I blame everything on Obama.
Yeah, so, yeah, not me. Man, not me, except the traffic. So anyways, I love the trailer. I think it looked great. What though cued me into this was what Drew said about there was a little, maybe behind the scenes, like, ooh, we don't know if this is working, if it's gelling so much.
And that's
so,
why they're
like,
emphasizing
push Batman.
Ben, yeah.
That's,
but that's what everybody wants to see. Superman's a boring character.
I disagree. I love Superman. But he hasn't been done totally.
Batman is so much more interesting than Superman. Come on.
I could make an argument.
To me, there's not even a question.
Sure. The way it's been done, I just believe that you can make a good Superman and make him, you know, interesting. I think there's ways to do it. They just haven't done it yet. I don't think they've done it yet.
I like the direction that these movies are going in with the God versus, you know, man thing. And
The new...
I like the Man of Steel stuff that wasn't the traditional Superman fighting stuff. I liked everything else with Kevin Costner and
I like
school
that
bus
too.
And
I loved all that stuff. I mean, I'm a fan of Man of Steel, but for this, let me say that Batman looked rad in this trailer.
Yeah, he's gonna be badass. Listen, Ben Affleck wouldn't have agreed to do it if he didn't like the direction.
I agree.
You know, the vision that Zack Snyder had for this character.
You're right, and that at the end of the day is I've always defended him because you're also getting a filmmaker that's standing on set who's good at what he does. So there's going to be a little collaboration there and talking with Zack Snyder. And maybe there was a time where it's like, you know what I'm going to do here is this. And was Ben Affleck going, I don't know about that. And so, what would you do, Ben? Maybe put it up there and we just kind of move here and that, you know, just if the, you know.
Hey, listen,
he just does that.
I'm pumped. This movie had my money the second it was announced.
Oh, duh, of course.
The trailer, none of the trailers have looked that great, but I think it's just a trickier sell. Because there are some big ideas in this movie that I think are hard to come, you know, to sell in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, you know what I love, though, the most of it? There was two things. It was like, one, you finally saw them up close kind of coming to blows. And one of them was like, he was standing there and just, it looked like Superman literally went and like pushed him and he just flies away, you know? And then the other shot where he goes to punch Batman and he catches it and blocks it. And
that was cool.
Superman's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was rad. Look. I love that.
What I liked, I'm fucking blanking now.
Yeah. Batman punched a dude in the head through the floor.
What Drew was saying was that that Jesse, he's heard really good things about Jesse Eisenberg, and that's something that could have gone either way, and so it was exciting to hear.
I love that idea.
Jesse delivers as Lex.
Yeah, I just was so interested that he got cast because of just thinking about Mark Zuckerberg.
Don't get this, like, you know, rush to like put a verdict on a movie a month before it even opens and anybody's seen it.
I know.
Just based on like word of mouth and I mean,
yeah, that was the same. Like, that's funny. A couple months ago, it looks really good. It's going to be rad and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. So who are you going to believe? I mean, I happen to believe Drew. He has some good sources. So.
I know Drew was saying, too, that like he'd be surprised if Zack Snyder did Justice League.
But he's already been announced as directing. So
sure, but I mean, listen,
things can change.
Or whatever. I don't know. David Ayer's Suicide Squad looks sick. What if they gave him that? What if Zack Snyder just wants a break?
Yeah,
you know?
He could use one. Yeah, he's been working a lot.
I don't know. Maybe they just want different visions for these things. Anyways, well, that's all we'll talk about as far as that stuff goes.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to go see the shit out of this movie no matter what. So
let's talk about.
Let's do it. What do we got?
All these fucking date changes.
Yeah.
Shit's getting crazy.
Yeah. So what are we talking?
So Star Wars 8 moved on to Ready Player One's date a while ago.
Right.
And Ready Player One finally blinked.
Yep.
And moved to the following March, around the end of March, which is where Warner Brothers is opening Batman and Superman.
Right. So it's smart. I mean, definitely smart to get out of the way of Star Wars. I mean, say what you will. It's Spielberg and it's a really popular book. Not enough to beat Star Wars, though.
I agree. Obviously, the right decision for Warner Brothers. But then today, mm-hmm. we saw Paramount date 3 Transformers movies. That's right. 5, 6, and 7. Because I know
every
the first 4
year.
Weren't enough. Right.
2017, 18, and 19.
Right.
Give me a fucking break,
And the
man.
2017 release is coming on the day of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So all these studios keep putting their biggest franchises on Warner Brothers' key dates.
You know what?
Man, they're like fucking going after them.
I do not think that Wonder Woman should move. I don't think Warner Brothers should touch it. But that's just me hating Transformers as much as I do.
Dude, you have to move.
I know.
Transformers is a $1 billion franchise, and believe it or not, I know there's a lot of excitement and clamoring for Wonder Woman.
I know.
She is not established as a franchise.
Yep.
I mean, you can't have her go up against one of the true box office juggernauts in Transformers, so she will be moving too.
I hate
no matter what they're saying today, and I don't know because I haven't called over there yet.
Right, but I hate to say it, you're right, because it is Transformers. And it's look, Wonder Woman is untested, so they will eat each other up at the box office if they open the same day. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Transformers will ultimately win. I don't think it would like Wonder Woman would crash and burn and be like a flop and be like 17 million versus 150 at the box office opening weekend. But why? One after the other. 3 in a row, 3 years. I mean,
that's how things are done these days, man.
That's a lot of shit. Just
because
coming
at you. These executives don't know if they'll be around 2 years.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
2 years time, you know?
They oh, my
just
God.
Just crank them out. So.
But Michael Bay is doing part 5.
And he says that's his last one. So
we'll
have a new director for Transformers 6 and 7.
Okay.
Yeah. That's breaking news, folks.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I guess that's my only hope. Nothing against Michael Bay. Because 13 Hours was really good, but...
Oh, you did see it.
I did see it, yeah. I
good,
really
huh?
liked it.
I liked it.
I was very surprised by how much I liked it. It wasn't... There was some Michael Bay-esque stuff in there, but, like, ultimately he played it pretty straight and true, and I like that about him. I want more of that from him. When it's going back to Transformers and just... It's just going to be that blockbuster, throw a bunch of shit at the screen, giant moving things that transform and I don't know who's fighting who and with human characters I could give a shit about. I mean, come on.
But
so
we're going to take a news break real quick. I just want to ask if you've seen some of these things. Did you see Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
No, I haven't. No. You know I don't see movies.
Yeah, it was agonizing.
Yeah, over at Geek Nation, my junior editor he does all the reviews, so he gets the to go and do that.
Yeah,
so
it was just, I felt very flat. And then you didn't see Zoolander 2 yet?
No.
Are you going to see Zoolander 2 in the wake of these reviews?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm sorry, internet, don't yell at me. Not a big fan of it to begin with.
Yeah, interesting.
I know it got a cult status and I know I did watch it later years, like, okay, what's everybody talking about? There's some great funny moments, but for me, I'm just not like, you know, like I was an Anchorman guy. That was so I was happy
it's,
about
it's
that.
It's funny. I relate them very closely because I had the same reaction to both. I didn't love Zoolander or Anchorman when I first saw them in the theaters, and then both of them grew on me.
Okay, so you did
on
like
DVD.
Zoolander.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I do like Zoolander quite a bit. This sequel was a fucking joke and not in the way you want it to be.
Yeah, man.
It was so lazy and slapdash, and it was like, this is what you waited 15 years. This is the story that you wanted to tell.
But it's so hard to do a good comedy sequel.
It really is.
They're never really – because it's kind of hard.
Oh, my goodness.
To extend – you know, you just kind of end up weighing on relying on the same kind of jokes told differently.
Yeah, save your money, folks.
Yeah.
Are you a Louis C.K. fan?
Yes, I am.
Louis C.K. Louis C.K.?
Louis. Louis, yeah.
Have you watched Horace and Pete?
No. I got to say, yeah, where, okay.
I spent $5 on that first episode.
Mm-hmm.
I could barely get through it. It was like such a chore. It was awful.
Man, yeah, okay. Well, that sucks.
People love it, though, again.
Because I love him as Louis, and in Louis.
Yeah, he's not that.
And I thought he was fantastic in Trumbo. I mean, he was so good in Trumbo. Mm-hmm. And I just can't wait. He's going to be working, so. But yeah, no,
No. have you been watching OJ?
I have been watching OJ.
What are you, two episodes in? Yep. Three episodes in?
It's two. Yeah, I'm just
watching. So you saw the Bronco then.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, what do you think of this show?
I love it. It's
fucking fantastic.
I'm a true crime junkie.
Me too.
I read this book by John Douglas, who was an FBI profiler. He did all the cases called The Cases That Haunt Us. Go look at it. Go read it.
Sounds like it's going to get optioned.
Yeah, it should be. Well, it's all the different unsolved cases, and then he weighs in. He gets all the facts, and he weighs in.
It's the next Conjuring franchise, folks.
It's really good, and he does take on the O.J. Simpson, like, all the evidence.
Did he say he did it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
I mean.
And, you know, in this particular episode, Cuba Gooding Jr. was fantastic. Like, I thought he just nailed it.
The big complaint, Jeff Wells has made this complaint. My parents made this complaint.
Okay.
It doesn't really bother me so much. But what do you think of the casting of Cuba Gooding Jr.? Because people seem to think he's the only one who kind of stands out.
Yeah. His casting, I mean, I love him. I think he's perfect. But are you talking about everybody?
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, when I say stands out, I meant, like, sticks out. Like,
oh, like, not good.
Yeah. Like, well, they just think he's miscast because he's too small.
I mean, I get
and,
that.
And, like, too, like, nice. And, you know, like,
I
but,
get
like,
that.
That's, I think that's the point of it is that OJ did not, like, walk around looking like he was a psycho.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, yeah, he's a little bit small, I guess, compared to OJ, but it was this episode in particular that got me.
I think he's a tremendous actor.
He became something different, and I mean, I don't think he looks like OJ. I don't think he acts like OJ. You know, he doesn't have that thing, but he's just, you know, he's doing his.
It's an interpretation of OJ that I actually think is really interesting. I agree. He may not look like OJ or feel like OJ, but the show's not about OJ. That's the brilliant part of the show. I've seen six episodes.
Oh, you got some early versions.
So
yeah.
The show is about the legal, you know, the whole legal circus around it.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating. Dude, wait until, like, you know, the main, like, Johnny Cochran episode.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Courtney B.
Vance. Yeah, he's fantastic.
But it's just really impressive.
Marsha Clark,
Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson she's fantastic.
Yep.
I love what they're
doing.
And
I don't normally like her.
Yeah, I love what they're doing, setting up the race. They open up the first episode with, you know, the riots, and then they're really playing it really well.
It was terrific. If you're not watching the OJ miniseries on FX, check it out. I know this is Meet the Movie Press, but
yeah,
this is very cinematic.
It is very cinematic, and
do,
I can't
and do
wait.
You watch Girls?
No, I did, and then I stopped.
Yeah,
I watched
the first five Girls.
Yeah, good
episodes. It is the same show.
It's the same show. How's my boy Adam Driver? I love him in that.
I'll tell you, it's weird.
Yeah.
And I think someone else said this. Maybe Brian Lowry at Variety, the TV critic. But it's like you're watching Girls now, and it's like, whoa, Kylo Ren's in this scene. You're like, what?
Oh God!
I think he's just gonna like do like the
a
Jedi mind trick or something.
Yeah. That's funny.
Whip out a lightsaber on Lena Dunham.
Why not?
It is a little weird. All right, we'll get back to the news because there was no shortage of it.
Yes.
Let's start with Johnny Depp playing the Invisible Man.
This is really interesting what Universal is doing because they got Tom Cruise for The Mummy. Now they got Johnny Depp. Wasn't there a rumor
they
about
still want Angelina Jolie?
Angelina
right?
Jolie for Bride of Frankenstein. This is crazy. This is A-list as you can get. And then they're going to share this universe. So, like.
Well, here's the thing, and it's funny. Someone said, oh, like, I can't wait to see Johnny Depp and Tom Cruise in a movie.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that you will.
No.
Because Tom Cruise is not the mummy.
No. Right.
Yeah.
He's not the mummy.
Yeah.
He's.
For all we know, he gets killed at the end of the mummy. I don't know.
Could you kill Tom Cruise? Isn't that weird?
That's a great point. Have we ever even seen
Tom Cruise
die in
movies? He's never
died.
That's
a fair point.
Wait a minute. This is. Trivia. Has Tom Cruise ever died in a movie? I mean,
The Last Samurai? Does he die at the end of that?
I can't remember.
Does he ride off?
No, he doesn't die. Born on the 4th of July? No.
Beats me. Minority Report?
No, no. Okay. Tom Cruise does not. Tom Cruise cannot be killed.
Breaking news.
In
he's
real
immortal.
Life or otherwise. He is immortal and the guy will never die. I love it. Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is the Invisible Man. I kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. You can see him with the scarves and hats and glasses, right? I know I'm not the first person to make that joke.
No. But it's true. I can just picture him pulling the bandages and him doing – maybe he's probably going to do some kind of tick.
But, like, I want it to be dark.
I do, too. I don't know what it looks like. It's so fascinating to me. I think it's great casting because I don't know anything about it.
Although it's got to be tough. Like, who casts Johnny Depp and makes him invisible?
I know. That's very true. Like, so are we going to get probably, you know, the origin of it?
Listen,
you know?
Johnny Depp is clearly at that point in his career where he kind of just doesn't give a shit.
And is
just, like, doing weird shit to do weird shit. Like, between the fucking Donald Trump thing that hit this week. Did you watch all of
that? Yes, I watched half of it. It was
really?
It went a little too long for me.
I see, I didn't watch any of it, but I watched the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I know that guy's voice. Like, who is that? I had no idea it was Johnny Depp until the reports started to come out.
Right. Me too.
He did that. He did Yoga Hosers, which, like, mm-hmm. on paper, what other A-list star is going to do Yoga Hosers? Like,
yeah. He's just batshit crazy. Who cares? Let's do it.
I guess so. But, yeah, he's down.
Vanilla Sky, says Dash Crowley on Twitter. Vanilla Sky, Tom Cruise. Yeah, I mean, yep. We're getting it up on the – yep. Collateral damage.
Collateral.
Not damage. Collateral.
Taps. Oh, people are like going through
it. I love this.
Meanwhile, spoilers on Tom Cruise's entire fucking career.
I know, right?
Originally, hey, let's name every movie he dies in.
I know. But now
if you haven't
seen
Vanilla Sky, Collateral, or Taps, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I know. You're 30 years too late.
All right. So Johnny Depp is the Invisible Man. A hell of an anchor.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. I just hope he doesn't do like some, oh, hi, I'm the Invisible Man. Smokes a cigarette and it goes through me. You know
what
I mean?
Man kind of thing?
Some kind of weird, I don't know. He always has a tick.
We'll see who they get to direct that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I do like it. I'm intrigued. I'll just say
here's
that
what else I was intrigued by.
Okay.
Danny McBride in talks to join Alien Covenant.
Right? This is pretty
cool. Reported by yours truly.
That was you. Well done, sir. I like that.
Well, birthday scoopage.
Yeah, I know. You actually had a big day on your birthday.
Day.
Happy birthday, everyone. We didn't even mention.
Oh, thank you.
Holy shit.
Thank you.
My leaving overshadowed the fact
seriously,
that,
God.
You know, yeah, and I called him on his birthday to tell him I was leaving, too.
I know. You're like, hey, Jeff, happy birthday. Listen.
Show. Moving the plug. Moving fast.
So McBride in talks, Alien Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really get details on the role, but Hollywood Reporter seemed to indicate he may be playing like a techie.
Okay. That makes sense.
He'll
probably tone it down a bit.
You know, I'm – exactly. Like, I don't – think he would just take the comic relief role.
No, yeah.
I think that maybe
says some one-liners and gets killed.
Because he can, you know, he can play a tough guy, I suppose.
I think he's going to be, like, very straight.
He's gonna play it straight.
And then he'll have, like, some one-liners that are just going to land, like,
it's going to be interesting. I was very surprised when I heard it, but I also heard, you know, that him and Ridley really hit it off. And
that's great.
Danny McBride has, you know, incredible respect for Ridley and was flattered he was even being thought of. And
yeah.
He was like, I'm in, you know, whatever you want from me.
Then it's interesting. So, I can't wait to see what they're doing with it because, you know.
I'm curious, too.
Prometheus
was not terrible. Like, there was a lot of.
I love Prometheus.
Interesting stuff in Prometheus. It just didn't quite, like, coalesce.
It opened just like Alien did, but in a different way. It was like, you know, seeing the ship. It was great. I love Prometheus. I know it has its issues. I know that those lunatic scientists that are like, hey there, weird snake-like creature I've never seen before in my life. Come here, you.
Right.
Come on. That's the only time I was
it was a fun cast.
Come on. But yeah, I can't wait. So what else is out there?
We got Charlize Theron circling the villain in Fast 8.
This is a very it's cool. Again, I'm not a Fast Furious guy.
Maybe it's my fault for not putting this out there. I mean, we've been sitting on this for months.
You talked about it.
Did I? I thought I might have talked about
you
it.
You did talk
remember.
About it here. You kind of, yeah, you hinted that there was something like that for her and Fast. I'm pretty sure you did.
I thought I did too.
Okay.
But either way, It's something that all the film reporters had sort of heard about, you know, that Universal at least wanted her to be the villain. But she hasn't said yes or no yet.
Right.
And I know the original story said that there was no script. I hear that there probably is a script at this point.
Yeah.
That the script isn't, so at least that she would have something to read.
Does the script, like five typed pages of dialogue?
Right, and then a lot of car chase,
graph. Vin Diesel did a crayon drawing of himself and his daughter or something.
If you were Charlize Theron or her agent,
okay,
would you say yes to this?
No. I don't know. That just came out of me. That was just like, well, because look, she's got the Huntsman sequel coming out.
That's why you'll never make it in this town as an agent, Mark.
Look, I would not. I was the guy that saw the pilot of Lost because my roommate worked on it and at the time.
I'm like, this show's not going.
I'm like, this show ain't going anywhere. This is shit. This J.T. Abrams, he's not going anywhere.
It's all right. I passed on Juno.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
I don't think there's an audience for this.
Yeah. I just saw her hamming it up as the queen again in the new Snow White.
Yeah, not Snow White, she's a villain in that. She's coming off a big franchise in Mad Max.
Yeah, and it's like, I just don't. The villain for me, like, feels like she's just gonna kind of do that thing, not like Huntsman villain, but just kind of chew the scenery a bit, and
she's gonna
be
in this for what, 20 minutes?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think she could just do something better. Like, how about a Furiosa sequel? I'll take that over this. That's just my opinion. Because again, I'm on record. I'm not a big Fast and Furious fan. I just don't. There's not a lot to these movies that get me. Sorry, internet. Sorry. I just, you know. So I would love to see her do something else.
And obviously, there are other things.
Really?
There are other things out there.
Wait a minute.
Seeking.
This is
Charlize Theron.
Really? So is it? You're working on this. We can't talk,
no,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep it under wraps.
Stay tuned to therap.com and at the In Snyder, right? Isn't that what
I'm
supposed to say?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm supposed to plug
that? Stay tuned to me.
Yeah.
Keep your focus on me.
Okay.
Speaking of blonde actresses, Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer news this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Two things.
Big, yeah.
Number one, taking her first kind of dramatic turn.
Right.
In DreamWorks' PTSD drama, Thank You for Your Service, which I'm really excited about.
I am too. When that came out, my junior editor was like, what? I don't like that. I don't like, you know, he didn't like Amy Schumer much. Just doesn't land with him. And I'm like, that's cool. Like,
see,
I don't know why I could see it.
Called DreamWorks to ask if she's going to be a soldier, because I could actually see her in fatigues. Like,
I could see her.
Seems
do that.
Like the kind of woman who might join the army.
Yeah.
You know, if you take her amazing sense of humor out of it. But she's not going to be a soldier. I don't know what her role in the movie is ultimately going to be.
Okay.
Maybe she'll be like a doctor, a physical therapist, sort of working with veterans, maybe a therapist. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good move for her to show that she can do more than just, you know, not just make people laugh, because that's obviously incredibly hard and a fantastic skill.
Yeah, I was going to say, that. Why do you think so many comedic actors and actresses can do drama
comedy's,
so well?
Comedy's harder than drama.
Comedy is harder than drama, yeah. And they have these gifts that
they can
do.
And Amy did dramatic stuff in Trainwreck, obviously.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely she did. So I'm excited about that. I like the idea. I like her in general. She was great on that Super Bowl ad,
and
too.
And then she's got Goldie Hawn in talks to play her mom in this this mother-daughter comedy over at Fox that Jonathan Levine's directing and
Paul
Feig producing.
Yep. This is great. I love
Goldie Hawn. Has not been on the big screen in 15 years, basically.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
It's kind of awesome casting. She was hilarious
perfect.
In the 80s.
I love
and early 90s.
Come on, Overboard.
Love Overboard. Love First Wives Club.
First Wives Club,
I haven't
right?
I've seen a lot of what is there?
Death
Funny
Becomes
Farm?
Her.
Is that her?
No.
What's the Chevy Chase one? Isn't she in?
Yes. Ooh, God. Yeah, it's
It's not.
Anyone? Internet?
Anyways. Goldie Hawn.
Private Benjamin.
Yes. A lot of good stuff. Wildcats? Was that
Wildcats, yes. I love that movie.
There we go.
I love
that movie. So it's kind of awesome. My editors were really excited about the Goldie Hawn thing.
Yeah.
Broken by our friend Kyle Buchanan over at Vulture, who, you know, if we had another show, we really should have had him on.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, we didn't get a guest because, well...
So anyways,
this was so fast.
Yeah, Goldie Hawn to play Amy Schumer's mother.
I'm all for it.
I really like it.
Yeah, me too. She's rad.
Because I've been tracking, like, and THR mentioned this as well, that I've been tracking sort of like the Sally Field of it all.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm all for it, obviously.
Did you read the Zola the Stripper story?
Yes, I did.
You read that whole thing?
I read the whole thing, the Rolling Stone
it's
article.
Great.
And now
James Franco is gonna direct a movie about it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it last week, and I know you got followed by her.
Yeah, she followed Zola the Stripper followed me. I tried to send her some DMs. You know, I was like, let's do an interview about this. And
yeah,
I didn't hear back.
She was like,
I don't. Maybe she might have been surprised.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. You know, when you're optioning an article, mm-hmm. If there's a deal for her life rights as well, or if you do that afterwards, I don't know.
Should, but it was a fascinating story. My God, like, that was one hell of a weekend.
Were you surprised at all that James Franco was going to take that thing on? Because it was
no.
so weird and bizarre. It's like, wow, of course he'd be perfect.
Yeah, it made complete sense for me because mm-hmm. he's a weirdo. I mean, the Room thing that he's got going on, I cannot wait.
I'm pumped.
The fact he's like they were. Describing it as Spring Breakers, kind of. And I'm like, yeah, he was crazy in that. So we'll see. Do you think he's going to play, like, the pimp again? Or has it been revealed that he's playing something or just directing
right
now?
It's funny because Deadline, their initial story was, like, that he's going to direct and star. And we all got the same, you know, press release or whatever that was embargoed.
Sure.
That they put up a minute early for no fucking reason.
Hey, it's Deadline.
Yeah.
They do what they want.
So, and then that story was revised. So maybe he's not planning to take a role in it. I don't know.
Okay.
Elsewhere.
Yeah. What's going on? What else is there?
Because we got, like, what, 10 minutes left?
Yeah, about 10 minutes.
10
yeah, because we started a little late, so let's go if we can. Everybody out there.
I think we can.
Okay.
These are just like little bits. Like, there's going to be Harold Ramis Film School.
I love that.
Isn't that kind of great?
Yeah. It's so, like, how can you not
get, I don't know who would go to that. But...
And go, oh, fuck that. That's lame. I mean, it's just so cool. I mean, what a great way to honor him and just...
I would only go if I could be, like, part of the first class graduating from Harold Ramis Film School because, I don't know.
Why
is that going to open more doors than, like, USC or NYU? It's probably
Thank
a little
you.
Bit cheaper.
Good on time.
So that was kind of cool.
That was cool.
Russell Simmons is starting the All Deaf Movie Awards.
Okay.
Okay, now, this was an interesting announcement yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically, he said, you know, this is not the Black Oscars, but they could be. And you're looking at the nominees and the categories, and they certainly feel like the Black Oscars, like sort of just poking fun at the actual show.
Yeah.
Chris Rock's brother is going to host it. It's going to be a few days. and they're like emphasized like it's just yards away from the main stage at the Oscars.
Wow.
Which is true. It's going to be like the man six there or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, why not?
They have a category called Best Helpful White Person.
Good.
I mean, this is going to be like better than the MTV Movie Awards,
yeah.
I think. The best picture nominees are like Beasts of No Nation, Straight Outta Compton, Concussion, Dope, Creed.
Yeah.
And there's one more, but
good.
I
mean,
yeah, good for Russell Simmons. I agree.
And you know what? Good for the best helpful white person.
It's like, you know, the awards will be voted on by the All Deaf Academy.
Okay.
Like, who are the members of this academy?
All of Russell Simmons' Twitter followers.
Russell Simmons, can I apply for membership on this academy?
Yeah,
this academy?
If you follow him on Twitter, you are approved.
I just want to be part of any academy.
That's so funny. I love it.
I was at home last week when news broke that the Swiss Army Man directors won Best Director at Sundance.
Oh my gosh. That's right.
I wasn't home, but anyways.
That's
I was just shocked.
Yeah, that's a movie.
And like they definitely have and again, I feel bad. I'll take this moment to publicly apologize to those guys cuz I know how hard it is to make your first movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I should have either paid it the proper respect and sat through the whole thing,
right.
And then, you know, said whatever I wanted to about it.
You
or
should have. Sure.
If you're going to walk out early, maybe not said anything at all.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
I apologize to the Daniels, which is also a really pretentious moniker to go by as a directing team.
Well, that's just all I heard.
World.
Like, I know some people were like, oh, I got to see this. And I'm like, you're in like farting corpse.
Yeah.
Like, Harry Potter.
So it's like, what's funny though, talking to people in the industry about them, it's like, there seems to be this consensus that they are talented guys. That they just needed to be reined in a little bit. You know, maybe their agent or manager should have been like, this is a little out there, maybe bring it back a bit. You know, they definitely have a voice, and I don't know what else in the competition other than Nate Parker, who won all the fucking awards. I don't know who
Sundance.
Else would have won this award. So
yeah, well, I mean,
I was just surprised.
Do you feel like it's like Sundance trying to like tone down that it's like, you know, really not independent anymore, and that like this could be viewed as like truly
independent. Is an artistic statement.
Artistic, if fucking corpse. We put it on film and it is
beautiful. It's interesting. When you looked at the jury, you know, it was like Franklin Leonard and John Hamm and yeah. Lena Dunham. And I feel like it was a very kind of progressive jury this year.
Yeah.
you know, so anyways.
Yeah.
There were a few other things. We got 5 minutes left. Did you want to talk about the Soderbergh thing?
Yeah, I do want to talk about this, because what are you hearing?
So here's what I'm hearing is that he is directing.
Wow.
It is a movie.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum is going to star.
Okay.
I keep hearing Michael Shannon.
Okay.
And that...
That would be great.
Soderbergh reached out to him directly.
Nice.
And then the Matt Damon of it all, which Kroll reported, and Steven Soderbergh, he didn't say that element was wrong. He just called Variety's story wrong without, like, pointing to specifics.
Okay.
Kroll, you know, I updated... We definitely got word that, like, Matt Damon was not involved at this point.
Okay.
Kroll kind of stood by his story, and that may pan out.
Nice.
Matt Damon may, in fact, have a very small role.
I like it.
In Soderbergh's movie.
So, the big thing was, like, he's not retired. Coming out of retirement.
And I know people are like, well, he never said he retired, and obviously he's been busy working the last few years on The Nick and stuff.
You're
but,
right.
like, no, he kind of did say he was never going to direct another feature again that was going to, like, go through the theatrical route.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I didn't know. I didn't remember if he did retire. Yeah, I mean, I heard, and then...
He definitely made statements to that effect, where it's just like it's gotten... It's lost its luster for him.
Okay.
So he is going to be directing. It sounds like Matt Damon could have a small role in this, obviously, depending on his schedule.
Nice.
The only thing that Kroll seemed to mess up was the title.
Okay.
I just think it's a little, like, fucked up for Soderbergh. Not fucked up, but it's like, listen, we all made the same calls to his reps and his people, or, you know, people involved. And,
right.
You know, all got shut out. Everyone's under an NDA.
Okay.
So how do you expect journalists to gather facts when no one's willing to really talk to them? And maybe it was, you know, after the fact that the story was posted. But the only thing Kroll seemed to mess up was the title, and I don't know if it was cool for Soderbergh to, like, go and trash him on Twitter.
Hey, yeah.
Trash the story. That's
our friend. That's our friend
of
the show.
It's our friend, but he also, like... uncovered a pretty fucking cool story.
Yeah, and yeah, he's good at what he does, so yeah,
so,
I get it. I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't, it was just, I don't know, surprising from Soderbergh's end.
Yeah.
Jonas Cuarón is doing a Zorro movie.
Yes, I wanted to, that's
an indie, not a studio thing, but like.
It's an indie?
Yeah.
It is? Well, yeah. it's the futuristic Zorro, right?
No, I think that's another thing that Boris kind of.
Whoa.
Fudged a little.
Because that was.
Not fudged, but.
That to me was the big news, was that it's like, not big news.
It's like a similar project, but it's not like a directly related to that one that was at Fox.
Okay.
I think it's his own take.
Okay. Sure. Great.
But also futuristic. But I mean, I think that's a really cool director.
Yeah.
To take that, you know, Latin hero, Spanish hero, whatever, into the next generation of audiences.
I agree. Well, you know, he co-wrote with his dad, Gravity. Is this the same?
Yes. Yeah. Jonas Cuarón.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, it sounds good. I was more for the futuristic.
I think that this is going to be kind of futuristic, but it's not that project that was in development at Fox. It's not the same.
I gotcha.
Script or writers.
Now I'm caught up.
Let's see. We're getting a fucking Seth Rogen, Galifianakis, Bill Hader space comedy. The Something.
Sure.
We got the supporting actress nominees. Kate Winslet and Jennifer Jason Leigh are looking to get their next movies. Kate's going to do Will Smith's Collateral Beauty.
Okay. I know. That was a good – I'm interested in that.
That was that role that I said Rachel McAdams was in talks for.
Right.
You know, that was like the day of the nominations, I think. And obviously her quote went up after that nomination. So for whatever reason, it didn't lead to a deal. Sounds like Kate Winslet's going to step in. And I kind of like that idea of Kate and Will Smith working together.
Yeah.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, coming off her nomination, sounds like she's going to be the fourth and final lead in Annihilation.
Yeah.
The next sci-fi movie produced by Scott Rudin, from the director of Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. I'm now so in, it's Garland, right?
Yeah, Alex Garland. He's got Natalie Portman, Gina Rodriguez,
yeah,
Tessa Thompson. Like, it's a very diverse cast, and now it sounds like Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I'm so glad that he's not only sticking with sci-fi, but like that he's getting more toys to work with, like not actors as toys, but just like.
I just like the idea of four women on like a badass starring in a badass sci-fi movie.
Yeah, man, absolutely
really interesting.
Can't wait.
We got Michael Pitt as the villain in Ghost in the Shell,
right?
Who kind of has like this anime look, you know, that heroin chic look.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the source material?
No, not really.
Me neither. And I'm so I can't.
I always
really...
kind of wanted to watch Ghost in the Shell. But
I did too.
It sounds out there.
Yeah, it does.
And then finally, Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. Going to be the lead in The Mountains Between Us.
Yeah, I love I love this spin on
this
it.
This is one for the ladies. Yeah, that's how I took it as, like, you know, this movie has gone through a few casting changes.
Yep.
The last one was Charlie Hunnam.
Uh-huh.
Everyone had been white up to this point. And then you have someone like Idris Elba, who women love, has a huge female fan base.
Yeah.
He could be a romantic lead. And they're like, let's give him a shot.
Yeah. Who was it? Hunnam dropped out and just for whatever reason. And then they're like, who's good? This guy.
Yeah, Idris Elba. Everybody likes him.
That's where you need to go.
The race is not important to that character.
This is where you start to like correct the Oscar so white thing. Don't even comment on it. You just go,
right.
Oh yeah, here, Idris Elba. He can do it. And there you go. Now, originally white actor is, you know, whatever. It's great. I love it.
Me too. So, they'll find him a female lead soon. But I will say the female lead will probably be white.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, because it is very difficult to make a kind of epic romance like this with two African American leads because it doesn't really sell overseas.
Yeah.
So expect him to get like an A-list white actress, probably, I would imagine.
I think so too. I know we got to wrap it up, but I want to ask you, it was Super Bowl Sunday.
Yep.
And there was a lot of trailers, so I just wanted to ask you what you thought of anything stand out to
you.
The
Jungle Book thing I thought was cool. The way
it was kind of coming out.
I loved how it was presented. And it's like I wasn't sure what they were doing. I was just like, this looks different and cool. No one else in the room even noticed.
Yeah.
But I think that movie looks awesome. And then I was surprised that the Bourne title was Jason Bourne. I was like, really?
I was too. It didn't land with me. It was like the trailer looked great. I was very excited for it. I'm all for, you know, Jason Bourne and Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon doing it. But it was later where I'm like, oh, like Jason Bourne.
I just don't like name titles.
Like Rocky Balboa, like John Rambo. Like
Michael. Well, it's a boring name. It's like, you know, Michael Clayton. That's boring. If you have a weird kind of name, like Aaron Brockovich.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool title, Aaron Brockovich, but not Michael Clayton or Jason Bourne.
Right, and the thing about it, though, is that it kind of breaks the Bourne supremacy, the Bourne legacy.
Yeah.
How about the Bourne resurrection? I don't know. It's like, don't ask me for the title, but you know what I mean?
Is that your new job? You're going to go to marketing at Universal?
Yep, I'm marketing all movies on Twitter. I am changing titles. Star Wars is now the war that happens in space.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was... underwhelming Super Bowl ads for me.
It was for me too. So was the game. I thought the game was just kind of.
It was. I took a nap during the third quarter.
I was sitting there. We were just all kind of like, okay. I loved the Jungle Book. I loved, there was no Batman v Superman trailer, which I thought was interesting.
Those Turkish Airways ads were really fucking weird.
It was so weird for me. I liked them. I liked seeing Bruce Wayne and, you know, hey, come to Gotham again, blah, blah, blah. And then Lex Luthor from Metropolis. It was kind of cool.
It was taking the whole thing too literally, though.
Like
this city was destroyed and now needs to be rebuilt. And of course, the tourism board would then spend millions of dollars on ads to get people to. Like, wait.
We're rebuilding Metropolis again and making it great.
Still Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Anyways, buddy, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. Been a pleasure doing this with you. And like I said, guys, we're not done here.
Yeah, maybe. As far as who knows what the future holds.
Da-da-da-da. Yeah, so that's me teasing bigger announcements to come. So, guys, follow me at Riley Around. I want to thank you for like always having just such great things to say. You follow me on Twitter. you, whenever I tweet something out like this, you're tweeting it back out. You're commenting. I really appreciate it. I'm stunned. I have nothing to say.
Oh my God. I see a tear like forming.
Is there a tear? There is a tear. And I want to thank, Kevin Undergaro, Maria Menounos.
Yes.
And Phil and Steven, everybody here at AfterBuzz.
They do a great job taking care of us.
Yeah. You guys were so great to me and, so nice to us and this. And so I hope I don't leave this in ruins. I hope that it keeps going because Popcorn Talk is a great network. Guys, follow Popcorn Talk Network and AfterBuzz. They got some great shows here. Great people working here. I really appreciate you guys following me along here at Meet the Movie Press. Sad to go. I am. I'm sad to go.
Yep.
It kind of sucks. So,
well,
thank you. On the live chat, I will miss you too. Puppy Monkey Baby is creepy.
Puppy Monkey Baby. on that note, folks.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful Valentine's Day weekend with your sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff Snyder. Film reporter at The Wrap. You can follow me on Twitter at TheInSnyder.
Yeah. And at Riley Around. That's where you find me always. I'll see you soon, everyone. Bye-bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or president.